If you believe he hears and he answers prayer, go ahead and begin to lift him up and magnify him. What a good God, and how worthy, worthy of all the glory. If God's been good to you, you give him praise and magnify him. We magnify you, O God, and bless your name. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise God. Appreciate the praise group, the media team, everybody that's on deck today, the kitchen staff that prepared a nice meal for all these that came early, and the Sunday school staff. They're doing such a good job, and I'm so glad our kids are back in Sunday school. It's a drag for them to have to sit through adult church, and we're so glad that they're able to be delivered from us and off into that that place they ought to be. So good news there. Want to continue to be in prayer for all these that are sick in their body. Keep Brother Cliff, Sister Robin in your prayers. They're fighting, struggling this COVID thing, and we need them back on deck and healthy and strong. Everybody say amen. Praise God. So, interesting season that we're in, and we're looking to God in the middle of it to pour out revival. We believe that every season is a season for revival, and that God is a God of all seasons. And whatever you're going through, God has been there before, and God knows all about it, and he's well able, and he's willing. He loves you, and he wants to touch your life and help you and cause you to come through victoriously. We're going to read this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 13. We're making our way through this story of the beginning of the kings in Israel. And Samuel is that transitional figure, and Saul is the first king. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord by thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." If you love his word as you're seated today, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's magnify him for the privilege of handling his word here. Lord God, we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens, your word that is alive, and it's like a seed planted down in our hearts. We praise you for your word today. Let it be alive in every heart and in every home and family, and help us to walk in it today in wisdom and understanding. And everyone said in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. We're thankful for all of our church family that's still at home and watching on the live stream. And we've been blessed to have this capacity during this season. And a lot of us have profited from it. Bible studies and long-range Bible studies and all sorts of things. Yeah, it's okay. It'll be okay. People go through all kinds of things, and I'm glad folks are at church, and this is where they need to be, and this is what they need, and these are the answers for their circumstance. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. And I'm glad that anybody can come to church, and I'm glad that everybody can come to church, and I'm glad that they let me in. And I was not like the church when I walked in the door. We were kids out of the 60s, and we looked like that, and we dressed like that. And the church was so straight and square, and it was not like what we had been accustomed to. And I'm just glad the light was on, the fire was burning, the word was being preached, and that they had an open heart, and that they were able to embrace folks that weren't exactly like them. Praise God. All right, so what we dealt with Wednesday night, that business was Israel had told Samuel they wanted to have a king. And in the conversation with God, God said, "Now, Samuel, don't worry about this. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me." And Israel had rejected God to be their king. They wanted somebody with flesh. They wanted somebody, you know, it's like when you're talking to your six-year-old and they're scared at night and they want you to come and be with them. And you say, well, don't worry, the angels are with you and God is with you. And the kid always says, I want somebody with skin. I want somebody that I can touch in here. And that was kind of what Israel was doing. They were saying, we need a king that we can identify with. And even though it was a rejection and it was a sin, it set them back immeasurably, because you really need God as Lord and King over your life, whether you're an individual or whether you're a nation. And so God allows them to do this and then admonishes them. Now, here you are. You've got what you wanted, and it's not what I planned for you, but I'm going to work with you in this. And so now follow after God, you and your king, follow after God with all of your heart. And so this was their new reality. This was their new set of circumstances. And God gave them hope in that new reality. God gave them a new type of covenant detail. He made an amendment here for them. But the failure that we're going to look at today is not like that. The failure we'll look at today is like when God has chosen a destiny for you and God has a fixed plan for you, and then there's this thing that you choose for yourself, and that's where we'll be walking today. This is different. So the failure in the earlier chapter had a remedy, but the failure in this chapter is no remedy is offered. I won't ever say never about that, but no remedy was offered. And here's the beginning of this chapter. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Now they've had some measure of victory. They've had an encounter with Nahash, the Ammonites, and Saul in his newfound anointing and his new role. He rallies all the nation together and they defeat the Ammonites. And so they're walking in some measure of victory here. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear," and all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel was also had an abomination of the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed him. That was in their first meeting. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you didn't come in the days that were appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I force myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people
because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Saul had just come out of a season of fresh anointing. He's brand new to the job. He's only been in the job for like 3 years now, or 2 years now, and he's won this great victory over the Ammonites, and he's walking in favor, and the people are beginning to be unified, and now he and his son Jonathan begin to move on their arch enemy, the Philistines, and Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And this is a big deal because every conquering nation will always have soldiers quartered and stationed and barracked in the lands that were conquered. And that's what you're looking at here. And the Philistines were all over Israel in garrisons. And Jonathan rose up and he began to attack them and destroyed them. And Saul blew the trumpet and said, "We're going to gather together and we're going to do to the Philistines what we did to the Ammonites." And Jonathan had picked a fight, and now Israel was called to battle. But when the people saw the gathering of the Philistines, it was too much for them. The Philistines are the biggest crowd, the biggest nation in the neighborhood there, and they are, by the scripture we just read, thousands, tens of thousands of chariots and armored personnel and people, just people like the sand of the sea. You can't. And so when they saw the Philistines, they were an obstacle. They were terrified of this crowd, and they began to scatter. And when the men of Israel saw they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and pits. And Saul felt pressure in that. He saw the people leaving him and hiding and fear falling on everyone, and he still wanted to do what he had done to the Ammonites. And he falls into an old trap, and he's not willing to wait and relax in the hand of God, and he's not willing to watch the clock wind down, but he's going to rise up and take initiative and feels like he has to do something. But it's an old trap. He thinks he can commandeer God. He thinks he can put something in motion, and God, because God has been talking to him and God has anointed him, he thinks that God will come and bless what he does just because they have this relationship. But there's a problem. And the problem is that God has called him by Samuel to wait at Gilgal until Samuel arrives. And he doesn't do that. He tarries 7 days. But by the time the 7 days were winding down, Samuel didn't come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered. And so this is the commandment that early on in their relationship, after Samuel had anointed Saul and after he had told him of these marvelous prophecies that were going to be fulfilled in his life, he said, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down to thee." Now, the man of God has told Saul, "I'm going to come. I'm going to be there, and I want you to wait until I get there. I'm going to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices of peace offerings. And 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come." How long do you wait? You wait till Samuel comes. How long do you wait? You wait till the word of God comes. How long do you wait? You wait until it's time and God has spoken to you and you fulfill the plan of God. 7 days you'll tarry till I come to thee, and then I'll show thee what thou shalt do. I'm coming to meet you there. I'm coming to offer up the sacrifices, and I'm going to tell you how this battle's going to go down. I'm going to tell you what God has for you, Saul. So you want to wait, and you want to make sure that we're doing this God's way. So Saul tells Samuel his rationalization. Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, I saw the people were scattered, and you didn't come, and it was the days appointed. It's the seventh day, and the Philistines are gathering together. And so I said, the Philistines are going to come down here to Gilgal, and I haven't made supplication. But Saul had heard the commandment, and Samuel had said, "I will come, I'll offer the sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do." And Saul blamed Samuel. "You didn't come within the days appointed." And he collapses under the situation. And he steps out of his circle and he steps into Samuel's circle. And this is going to be a disaster of tremendous consequence for Saul. Saul orders them to bring the burnt offering and the sacrifices to him. And he offers up the sacrifice. He's walking now in the office of the priesthood. There's a similar situation later on in the stories of the kings, where a king, an irate king who is full of himself and has won so many victories, he feels like he can do anything, and he breaks in through into the temple and stands in the place of the offering of the incense. And as soon as he breaks in, he develops leprosy, and he will spend the rest of his life condemned to leprosy. Because there are some places where you can walk in the anointing of God, and there is a definition for each of us in the kingdom of God. And we do well to know where we are, who we are, and what our role is in the house of God and among the people of God. And you don't need to flinch from what God has called you to, because if he's called you, he'll see that you are equipped and that you are able. You don't need to ever be afraid of saying yes to God, because he's going to be there. And you don't ever need to worry about the schedule. There's the old song about he may not show when you want him, but he'll always be right on time. Well, I'll tell you this, he may not come when you want him, and you just keep waiting. You just keep waiting. You just lean on God, and the devil might torment you, but you say, my God never fails. And the enemy might rise up to you, but you say, my God is going to come. And when God comes, somebody say, praise the Lord. I believe the Lord's coming. I believe he's coming back. We see our world falling apart. We see our world coming unglued and all of the prophecies coming to pass. But you just go to the bank on it, friend. God's coming back. There's going to be a day, as the word of God has said, and a trump is going to sound and the shout of the archangel, and God is coming down himself with a shout. And he's going to take care of a lot of things that are not in my circle. But I do have a circle, and so do you. We have a responsibility and a calling from God, and we don't shrink from that, but we identify with that, and we stay within the bounds of our place. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And here's the mandate from Saul, from Samuel. Thou hast done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God. He commanded thee. Now will the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. Saul, you were going to be the king of kings among men. And you were going to be the one from whom the Messiah comes. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. This is talking about David. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you. And it seems in the overview and in the heat of battle and in nation building and all of that, seems like a small thing that he did. He offered up some animals on a sacrifice to God. But big doors swing on small hinges. And sometimes it's not crucial. And sometimes a mistake is not final and it's not fatal. But sometimes a big door closes because of something very small. And destinies can be changed and opportunities can be lost. And then there's that old aggravating lament of what might have been. God has a chosen destiny for every person in this house today. God has it mapped out. All he wants you to do is walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. You say, well, all the billions of people on the earth and all the different things that could be and the places I could go and all of this, I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. And God sees the end from the beginning. And he's got a calling for you. And he's got a ministry for you. And he has something in mind for you. And you really do want to stay close to God, because you want to know God's chosen destiny. Now, you can go out and carve it out for yourself, but it won't be like the one God chose. You can go out and dig it out for yourself, but it won't be like the one God chooses, and it won't have the outcomes that God would have in his destiny for you. So how important is this? What might have been was that God would have established your kingdom forever. But now what will be is that now you're going to be cut off. And this story is going to end with Saul and his son Jonathan headless and nailed to the wall of a Philistine city. It couldn't get more tragic. It couldn't be more obscene and more brutal. And if Saul would have waited, they would have destroyed the Philistines just like they destroyed the Ammonites. And if Saul would have waited, they would have conquered all the people groups around them. How do you know that? Because that's what David did. David would rise up, take his place, and David with all of his failures and all of his faults, and that's another story, but David conquered all the people groups around them, and they had a peace, and they had a dominion and a range of influence they had never had before. That would have been Saul's. They would have had revival under Samuel. Because it was already happening. God was drawing the people in and they were unifying and they would have had revival. And where for the last 400 years they've been worshiping Baal and Ashtoreth, and there were always pockets of faithful people, but for the most part Israel didn't really serve God. They were at the brink of revival. They were at the brink of a unified revival. And there was something about to happen in Israel that never ever really took place again. And that was all what might have been. There would have been no King David had Saul obeyed God. There would not have been a need for a King David. And in the story of the New Testament where the blind man Bartimaeus is crying out to Jesus, he gets his attention by crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." But it would have been, "Jesus, thou son of Saul, have mercy on me." It wouldn't have been a David, and there wouldn't have been a son of David. It would have been the son of Saul. His anointing comes after Saul's failure. And David's destruction of Goliath happens because Saul is now like the people. He's hiding in the caves and in the dens, and he's taken on their persona. But had Saul had to face Goliath under the anointing of God, Saul would have killed the giant. We know that because there were young men after David that rose up and became giant killers. And Saul would have. I'm just looking at what could have been, what might have been, what should have been. But you really don't want to live your life looking back at what might have been. You want to answer a really important question today. You want to answer the question, what could be? What could God do today? What could I be in the kingdom today? What could my destiny be in the kingdom of God today? Saul, under the anointing, would have been the champion that David became. Jonathan, he would have lived and probably reigned after his dad instead of winding up nailed to the wall of a Philistine city. You can play with alternate realities and play with all the what might have been. There's a poem from Whittier, and it ends with, "For all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been, what I might have done." These are the things of daydreams. These are the things of people sitting in the dark and thinking about what could have been, and they're drinking a bitter cup when they're doing that at an advanced age. I could have been, I could have had, I could have done it. It could have been this way. But I'm telling you, this is a better, our kids are not in the house today. This is a better message for kids than it is for older people and people in their 30s and 40s and 50s that have already begun to make some mistakes. But I want you to know it's never over till God says it's over and you You need to understand there may be some remedy for where you are, but you really need to understand how big a deal that little hinge, that little behavior, that little decision might be. You don't know what door is going to open or what door is going to close. And I think about it, the things that might have been. I think about prayers that never were prayed, and the song that never was sung, and the family, a harmonious, thriving, lovely family that might have been raised, or the works of grace that could have been done, or the souls that might have been raised out of suffering, the help that you might have been to so many that need help, and the children that might have been saved, or the value that could have been added, or the beauty that could have been created, and the great celebration that might have taken place. Frost said, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then the other just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them readily, really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And that cuts both ways, because it could be the life-changing, wonderful decision that he made, or it could be what catapulted him into despair and into defeat. I believe that Cain could have been as able had Cain repented and offered up the right sacrifice. I believe that Esau could have been as Jacob if Esau would have loved his hunting and fishing and loved his God at the same time. I'm just telling you, things don't have to be as they were, because you've got this orb, this powerful, glowing thing that God put down in you, your free moral agency, your free will and choice, and it's bigger than God, and it's bigger than hell, and the devil can't take you anywhere you don't want to go, and you can put your foot down, and you can do the right thing, and you can be the right person, and you can say yes to God, and if you've failed, and if you've fallen, you can get up and say, this is a brand new day, and I'm going to be a brand new child in the kingdom of God. Somebody needs to shake himself or herself right now. Shake yourself and say, I'm going to get up. I may have blown it before, but I'm going to get up and be what God intends for me to be. I'm not going to let my failure be fatal. I'm not going to lose everything that could be. And I'm not going to sit in some dark hovel at the end of my life and sing a sad song about what might have been. And I believe that Judas could have been like Peter, and Judas could have been there on the day of Pentecost. All it would take is repentance. All he had to do was throw himself. Nobody wept any more bitterly than Peter did after he had failed God. But Judas went out in his despair and he hanged himself. But he did that and he sealed his own fate. And what might have been drained out of his life, like his life drained out. And he settled himself into an eternal hell. I just want you to know, it didn't have to be that way. What could have been? What could have been? Praise God. For us, the thing does cut both ways, because It can be devastatingly negative, and it can be wonderfully positive. We stand today and we say with David, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. I want you to know I'm standing in a place right now, and there's not much to know about me because everything I am and everything I will be, I'm already at the end of my journey. You know, I might have a few clicks left, but you got to understand, when you're 20, it's yet to unfold in front of you. But when you're nigh to 70, it is something, the body of work is already there. I see it. God sees it. You see it. And I want to stand in the middle of that right now, and I just want to tell you that it is good to live for God, and it is rewarding to live for God. And I might have some piddling regrets along the way, but there is nothing important in my life right now that I regret. I do not regret living for God. I do not regret bowing my knee at an altar. I do not regret going down in the water in Jesus' name. I don't regret receiving the Holy Ghost. I don't regret laying on my face in tears and giving my life and my destiny to God. I don't regret it. And God has been faithful. Is there a witness in the house? I don't regret saying yes to God. I don't regret marrying my wife. Praise God. I wouldn't have another. And I'm just going to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to stand together after 45 years of marriage, or 46 or whatever it is, and 5 years. My goodness, we've been walking around and hanging out for 50 years right now, and I'm excited to see her today. I'm glad that she's my wife today. I'm just telling you, you can create a disaster in your life by not following after God. I'm glad I'm not on number four. If you're on number four, make it the best you can make it now. I don't know what disaster you've left behind you, but get up and change the last. You know, it's really amazing. You might lose the first 12, 13, 14 rounds of a fight, and you might, however many rounds a fight has, you might lose a lot of those early rounds in a fight, but if you KO the guy in the last round, you're the winner. You might stumble and fall and look ridiculous. You might be at the end of the pack when the race starts. But at the end of the race, if you break the ribbon, my God, you're the winner. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't matter how you start. But I'm going to tell you more than that, it matters how you finish. You don't want to be sitting in the dark singing what might have been. I don't regret having 3 daughters and 10 beautiful grandkids and 3 sons-in-law. I didn't say anything negative about them at all. I didn't modify that with anything that could be construed to be negative. I don't regret that. I'm glad for that. And I don't regret this church. I don't regret this church. And you only have one lifetime, and you can't be everywhere, marry everybody, and do everything. You got to settle into where you are and who you are and what God has for you, and just make the best out of what you are and who you are and where you are and what God has called you to right now. Because if you spend the whole time looking back, you're going to lose everything God's trying to give to you. You got to stop all that. The question is never, how did we get here? The question is, where are we? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? Those are the constituent questions of life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Sometimes, in a moment like Saul's moment, a door slams shut, and that is that. And there's no remedy for that we see in the scripture. Sometimes it's one action like that, and sometimes it's the weight of 1,000 different actions and small things, and that door swings slowly. Sometimes you've got the opportunity for correction and redemption, and sometimes you don't. I feel like that exactly sometimes. That's right. Give that child something to eat. Quit pinching her.
You gotta stop now.
It's so bad when they're out of whack in public, huh?
I'm gonna get you.
Ashley said, why are you talking to me with your teeth like that? I said, I gotta quit talking with my teeth like that. So today, Sam, won't you come help? Today, a prayer, some repentance, a decision. Maybe you need to forgive somebody and get over something. Maybe you need to stand up and obey what God has called you to. Maybe the hinge, that small action, is going to swing a big door open in your life. And maybe something that looks catastrophic in the future, when you do something today and you respond right and in a godly way, in a biblical way, maybe that is all it takes, and that door is going to swing closed and something new is going to open up in your life. I believe God's able to do anything with anybody. I really, really do. Do you believe that today? Don't lose the wonder of this thing we're involved in. Don't lose the wonder of this experience in God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you. I don't know how you're wired and how you feel. But as long as I've got anything left in the tank, I want everything that God has for me. And I don't want to look back. You know that stereotypical thing at the end of life, the surveys show, nobody says, I wish I had spent more time at work. Nobody says, I wish I had spent more time at the office. They all say, the data is already in. The data say that people wish they had spent more time with family, more time with friends, more time with good things. For apostolics, I think it would have been, I wish I had spent more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time with God. Praise God. We're looking over the shoulder of history, and we're watching Samuel and Saul in a little mini drama that affects an entire nation. And on that day, now he dies chapters later, and he's going to go through some terrible things before, but he died that day. His kingdom died that day. His anointing died that day. And before it's over, he's consorting with a witch. Before it's over, he's doing things that would have been an abomination to him chapters before. And it's because of a decision he makes on the day that we're reading about today. Praise God. Small things, little hinges, big doors. Today, you can change your destiny by having a proper response to God. Some of you already know what you need to do. Some of you already know how you need to respond to God. You're feeling it. Holy Ghost is talking to you. Somebody here doesn't have the Holy Ghost. You need to receive it today before you leave this place. Somebody here never been baptized in Jesus' name. You need to go down in the water today and let God wash all your sins away. You say, well, what will the journey be? I don't know what the journey will be, but it'll be wonderful. It'll be God. It'll be good. It'll be as good as it can get in this existential journey. Praise God. Would you lift up your hands? Would you stand all over the house right now? Let's press in. Let's begin to pray right now. Hallelujah. Almighty God, worthy God. Hallelujah. Somebody respond to God right now. Somebody respond to God right now. You've seen the wreckage of people around you. You've seen miserable old people that missed their opportunity. They couldn't get it together and live for God. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more miserable than an old backslider. You really do want to come and live for God with all the energy that you have. You really do want to come and live for God with everything you have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing it with them. Sing it with them. Pray your prayer. Come on today, be what God has called you to be. God called you to sing the song, pray the prayer. Be the man, be the woman that God has called you to be. Build that house, build that family, build that ministry. Do the thing God's called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody that has the Holy Ghost today to begin to pray in tongues. Let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer in this house. I want you to begin to explore the gifts of God. I want you to begin to explore. Let God begin to lead you in that today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to yield yourself in the Spirit. You need to yield yourself to the moving of God's Spirit in your life. Little things make a big difference. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. Pray with them, church. Pray with them, church. Let the Holy Ghost move. Practical, if it's within your comfort there, lay hand on that one that's by you. Take their hand. Knit your prayer together. Let's press in a little bit here in prayer. Going to go on whether or not you're a part of it. You might as well get on board and be a part of what God is doing. Nothing, no one is going to stop the plan of God, but you need to plug into what God has for you in His kingdom and in His plan. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes to God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say yes. From the depth of your heart, say yes to what God has for you. The house, let's lift up our hands, let's talk in tongues right now. Let the Holy Ghost just wash over this house, your family. Praise God. Those of us that are online this morning, let that Holy Ghost flow in to your living room there, your kitchen, wherever you are there in your home. Let that Holy Ghost flow. Let God speak. Let God give direction. Let Him pour out anointing, some unction on your life right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. He's a good God, and He's worthy of all the glory and the honor. Praise God. So good to see you on a Sunday morning. Glad for our church family that's online live stream today. We're going to do this again tonight. We're going to have prayer at 6 o'clock and an apostolic service at 6:30. We are going to bull our way through this. God's going to help us, and we're going to have revival in 2020. Somebody say praise the Lord.